Your team is great. Your bank should be great. There's
in the finance system. And there is an infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve. An infinite amount of cash at the Federal Reserve.
An infinite amount of cash.
Contagion stem from a system that incentivized fraud. A scheme to get more complex and fallible humans left unchecked. Playing the dark is how you get wrecked. And our economy's a lot of the X.
What would happen? We take our money out of its systems. Why protest our labor when we can pull out our capital? Where would we be if our money enriched us? Simply by holding purchase in power. How do we build a base? Replace the until effects with the world of free markets.
Build an independent system to remove resistance to corruption. Move the savings into that system so no one can ever touch it. All activities move this way. We love our money. Everything changed. We know all the positive things.
Money was caused by desire and by wit and with time and even logic. Piece of pie or even you would be money would not have been one once. That's your score of politicians. Country capturing positive place and leaving the value at the end.
So we can move value without being sensitive. Move on from gambling and saving. Move on from all of the politics. Move on to the end of the internet.
So we don't have to just be what they say. So freedom and wealth can be taken away.
So we treat and punish all the same.
So we can tempt the control of this game.
Knowing the truth will break the frame. Now our perspectives forever change. Truth is the key for us to reclaim.
Open the door, it's a game.
Good morning, and happy Tuesday,
election day
to everybody.
My name is Coleman.
Is there an echo on your end?
Anybody have an echo?
That's not too terrible. Just sounds like you're in a place with some... good acoustics, I guess. I don't know. It's not like echoey. Not like,
this is not super bad. How's this?
That's worse. That's worse.
Okay. Sorry about that.
My computer's messing up. Hey, Elmer, do you want to go ahead and kick it off?
Sure. Let me take a look. Didn't get a chance to look at the agenda you had set for today. So one second while I look that up. So I'm just going to skip to the one thing that I did hear about last night. It was Joe Rogan officially endorsed Trump last night. I don't know if that's going to make any much of a difference, in terms of the election itself, especially because it's so, you know, it feels pretty late in the game for endorsements. I think well, maybe not expressly endorsed. I think he kind of implied his endorsement before. I guess there's a bit of a difference between the two, but not too much of a difference. You know, most polling places I think are open. I don't know about the West Coast yet. I assume so. It's like 7 a.m. the West Coast. So, you know, people are voting. I don't know if anything on the West Coast really matters though, because California, Washington, Oregon, they're not going anything but blue as far as I know. So I think like the big ones to look at will be like your Pennsylvania. I think North Carolina was kind of flip flopping and, New Hampshire. I saw it was leaning a little bit more Trump than it has in the past. Once
you there, Omar?
Yeah, sorry. My daughter was just asking me something. So that's the Rogan endorsement. In other preparations for that, they're, you know, for the election results, they are, kind of barricading around the White House and the Capitol building and stuff like that. So, you know, kind of saying maybe there'll be more, upheaval based on the results. Hopefully not, you know, I know it's pretty crazy times, but regardless of who you're supporting, you know, any kind of like riots or anything like that, they're going to help anything. At the end of the day, they'll just give the state more excuses to, label groups of Americans as, you know, quote, domestic terrorists and, you know, go on the attack against free speech and liberty and stuff like that. So definitely something to avoid there. Let's see. Bitcoin Magazine is going to be streaming a movie from Trump 2024 as part of their election coverage, tonight. So I didn't really see anything about that, but that sounds kind of interesting. I think, I'll let Coleman get to the space or the thing tonight, but I think Bitcoin Veterans might be doing a podcast tonight, doing some election coverage too. So.
We're doing live coverage tonight.
Nice.
With the video space. Yeah. So live coverage of the election going on, kind of giving you updates. So it'll be a good one. That'll be happening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So follow us on the Twitter handle. It'll be live, or follow us on our YouTube page. So thank you, Ymar, for filling in there this morning. So while everyone's still trickling in, I just want to make sure, everyone understands why we do this every single morning, Monday through Friday. And that's to defend the values of what our founding fathers fought for. And there's really no better time and no better way to do that than to go out today and vote. I understand a lot of Bitcoiners don't like politics. And Bitcoin is apolitical. It doesn't matter what happens. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter who wins tonight for Bitcoin. Bitcoin's going to continue to trug on, and it's going to do its own thing. So I want to make sure that everyone understands my view with that. The election tonight is not going to affect Bitcoin. It will not destroy Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I believe, is too strong to fail at this point. However, you are not Bitcoin. We are not Bitcoin. And so it is very imperative that we get out there and we exercise our constitutional right to go vote and to make sure that we bring a friend when we go. Don't let your friend sit on the sidelines and don't let them say that This election doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. Every single vote counts. Getting out there and making your voice heard is what's so important. And there are millions and millions of people in the entire world who would love to have the opportunity that you have where you can go out there and cast a vote. So we're going to talk about a lot about the election today, just because it is extremely important. And there's a lot of things that we can kind of splinter off from the election, but it's all very relevant. And so, I want to make sure that everybody understands, that again, we need to go out there and do our part. And Bitcoin, it does have a role to play in this election. And again, the election results won't affect Bitcoin, but it'll affect us. So make sure that we get out there. So I want to give a quick shout out to Wade and Gabe, on the panel. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
What's up? You guys seeing all the market action? Numbers are green.
Yeah, I saw Bitcoin hit like a little over 70K and then it looked like it dropped back down. So I would assume that we're going to get a lot of wide swings in the price action today. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we touch down to 65, 66K. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got up to like almost 72, 73. I think it's going to be pretty volatile today, depending on the news that's coming out. How do you guys feel about that?
I think it's, they're playing into Saylor's playbook and he's going to try and capture as much of that volatility as he can. And it looks, I don't know if anyone got the chance to, either listen into or read up on, Saylor's MicroStrategy quarterly earnings, but you know, they look, highly, excited and are anticipating high volatility and they're looking to profit from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's well said, Wade. Yeah. And so there's going to be a lot of volatility today. But again, though, I think that's going to be just very short term. I think there'll be wide swings, but coming after the election, historically, after today, the Bitcoin price never drops below. So for the last three election cycles, whatever that price was at the end of the election day, Bitcoin's never dropped below that. So hopefully that trend continues and, we're onward from here. But yeah, so as Eomar was mentioning, Bitcoin Magazine will be streaming, I don't think of their movie. They're just going to be streaming live. I can't spell very good in the morning. So they're going to be streaming live, from Trump headquarters 2024. And again, Bitcoin is apolitical, but this is big that, the Trump team is allowing them to be at their campaign headquarters. And so again, we all give Trump a lot of shit for going down shitcoin alley, when he started making Trump coin that failed miserably, which we all could have told him was going to happen. But again, at least he's involved. He's dipping his toes in, but he is surrounding himself with a lot of knowledgeable Bitcoiners. And I think RFK, is a really good example of that. I heard him speak at Nashville, this summer. And he's not someone that just read the talking points from his aides and it's just hitting, you know, just the big things that attract all the attention. He knows quite a bit about it. And so having RFK in Trump's corner is going to help him really understand it. And listening to Trump speak, I do think he understands more than what we're giving him credit for. He does seem like this time he's more versed with everything. So again, I think it's really, really big. And, the Bitcoin, just trying to find in my notes really quick here. The Bitcoin Policy Institute released, an article yesterday titled "The Case for a Bitcoin Strategic Reserve." So that's pretty big news. The Bitcoin, for people who don't know, the Bitcoin Policy Institute is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization that researches policy and social implications of Bitcoin and emerging monetary networks. So in the report, their, economics guy, Matthew Ferranti, examined how Bitcoin's unique investment characteristics can help central banks diversify against risks such as inflation, geopolitical tension, capital controls, sovereign default, bank failures, and financial sanctions. So the report also highlighted Bitcoin's potential as a modern counterpart to gold, suggesting that central banks might consider modest allocations to Bitcoin to enhance their reserve portfolios. And this endorsement aligns with recent U.S. lawmakers such as Cynthia Lummis in Wyoming, trying to acquire a 5% of Bitcoin's total supply. So 5% of the 21 million. So I think it's an interesting article, that came out and I'd like to get, y'all's thoughts on the article and what that would mean with a Trump win. So Gabe, Eomar, Wade, if you guys want to jump in there, feel free.
Kind of looks like everybody's rushing to get a 1%. Or a quarter of 1% stake in Bitcoin to me.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten into this before, in pretty good depth, about like my take on this. Like I see it as like the next logical step, and I think it'll be something that the BRICS nation, so those that are opposed to the dollar reserve dominancy, I think that Bitcoin's a real viable option for them, and it's something that they're going to move towards. And even if you don't feel that way or you don't support that idea, like as probably the people in charge of the United States, like in the Federal Reserve and all that stuff, you know, you don't only prepare for like what you want to happen, right? Like a functioning, plan should have contingency plans and fallbacks and stuff like that. So I see, you know, us with a strategic Bitcoin reserve as a necessity is just something that, anybody in the right mind should support, because it gives us the ability to continue to function if the world shifts away from the dollar. So that's definitely something that we should take on and, move towards. And then there's all the other like secondary benefits and stuff in terms of, supplementing the power grids in the United States, you know, eating up unused electricity from like nuclear plants that are used to power, AI data centers and all that stuff. And it, like the AI data centers, it's also like important to note, like from a defense standpoint, you know, if you think of like the different like cybersecurity and stuff like that, that they can provide or help prevent attacks from, you know, so there's those arguments for it as well.
Hey Omar, are you seeing a change in language in kind of the same way that I think we're seeing? Is it so many institutions and companies are now talking about Bitcoin as a treasury reserve status as opposed to an investment? It seems like the language is changing a little bit.
I think you're right with that, Wade. I think the language is changing. The only thing I would rephrase in your statement or question was be a lot. I think we're in a little bit of an echo chamber on X and in our community. So when we see, you know, a dozen or even two dozen companies talking about it, I think we make it into a bigger deal than what it is, because there's millions of companies out there across the country and the globe. So I do think it's interesting to see how they're all kind of changing their stance and look at it. But again, I think it's an extremely small percentage of companies are actually considering it. Look at Microsoft and the pushback that their board was giving to even trying to investigate into it.
Yeah, I think it's still like an important step that Microsoft like even is talking about it though, right? Like I don't think that should be discounted out of hand. You know, it'll take time. Think about how many times you heard of Bitcoin personally before you made the decision to buy it. I know for myself, it was too long now that in hindsight, but I think companies will feel the same eventually as well, that they waited too long. But you know, the fact that they're talking about it means that they, you know, it's being considered, even if it's, you know, being shot down right now. So that means to me in a couple of years time, they'll be on board, or maybe sooner, depending on, you know, how BRICS and stuff reacts and behaves. And if we do end up with a national strategic reserve of Bitcoin, then I think companies will feel more comfortable taking similar steps.
I guess maybe the reason I brought it up initially was because the upcoming Microsoft shareholder meeting, I don't know what date they're going to do that, but I thought it was very interesting to have them actually having a vote or a discussion on Bitcoin as a treasury reserve asset.
I believe that date is December 10th. So, wait, I think you said that they're not discussing to add it to their treasury. I think the only thing that they're discussing is if they're going to spend money and resources, if they should add it to their treasury. So I don't think the 8th or the 10th vote has any sway if they're going to add it. They're just going to allocate funds to start doing research. So if they do add it, I wouldn't expect it to happen until probably Q2, Q3 of next year.
Yeah, I think the only, like, if they did like honest research, I think they would come to the conclusion that like it is, worthwhile, and that would then require them like, as like their fiduciary duty to do it, to follow through. But you know, there's all sorts of shenanigans that you can play as a corporation in terms of who you get to do the research and stuff like that. So you can have somebody that already has a predetermined outcome and then just kind of fit the research to say no, you know, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge issue for the fiduciaries, the CPAs, the finance guys out there. I mean, when you got folks out there like Kathy Wood with ARK, and you got You have Fidelity out there issuing their Bitcoin papers and whatnot. I think that's really interesting, and it puts people like Schwab and Vanguard in a bind when they're not even considering doing any fiduciary responsibilities or due diligence behind Bitcoin.
Everybody gets in at the price they deserve. And so, and unfortunately, a lot of these companies are going to miss that boat at today's prices anyways. I want to say good morning to Shane Hazel and AC and Gabe. I don't think I welcomed you this morning. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Coleman. How's it going, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys.
It's going really good. Good morning, AC. Things are going really good. I really can't complain. In light of everything that's going on in the country, I still feel really good about things. I have a good feeling about today. I think things are going to be going really well. Still a little surprised there haven't been any notable news, events over the last, I would say, 4 days. So I guess I'm a little bit excited to see if something happened, not excited, antsy to see if something happens tonight. Any shenanigans, nefarious actions. But overall, I have a pretty good feeling for today.
Yeah, it reminds me of being back in Iraq in 2004, I think it was in the beginning of 2004 when we did the, one of the first, you know, votes, and we were expecting a lot of tension, some hostilities and some violence. And, you know, it was marked by, you know, people going to the polls, and all across Iraq, it was kind of quiet. And listen, I'm not here to sit here and say, hey, we did great things in Iraq. What I'm saying was, this is more, of the election focus. And, you know, we were down in Najaf at the time, and as people were coming in and people were going out, they were showing us the fingers they had voted, paper ballot, no less. But you know, nothing happened on that day, and we expected a lot to happen. I really, you know, hope and pray that that's the case not only today, but through the inauguration and you know, in late January. But that's what, you know, I really, you know, I think we could get there, but I think being prepared in the meantime is, you know, obviously doing a lot of prep work if you haven't already done it, and then, you know, making sure that everything's kind of in order before then. I think that's still a good idea to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Just make sure you're prepared and aware of what's going on. Again, we're not saying something's going to happen. And I know that's not what Shane's saying, but just always make sure you're prepared. There's nothing worse than being caught off guard and not having a plan in place. Gabe, I know you have some thoughts on today, and some events that might be unfolding. So just kind of set up Gabe, I like getting Gabe's thoughts, just for him to set him up. The National Guard has been, not deployed, but they've been notified to be on standby in the Western states. So Oregon, Washington State, and Arizona.
Yeah, we're seeing reports of businesses being boarded up in certain states right now, and people kind of, you know, holding their breath waiting for the plunge to happen. And I think it's important to I guess keep a level head in situations like this, especially right now. We've been building up for this moment for a long time. And it's important for us to remember that much of the tension that people are feeling, and even the strained relationships that people are feeling with their families and their neighbors, much of this is really by design. Because as long as we're at each other's throats, then we're not looking at the real source of the problem. And the real source of the problem is this fiat system that each of us are here to fight against peacefully. And as long as we hate each other, and as long as we're, you know, choosing our own favorite American Idol candidate, or contestant, which is what these two people are, you know, they are representations of our own manifestation of our own wrongdoings that we experience. And it's ridiculous, because the bottom line is neither one of them gives a shit about you or your family. And they are here for one reason, is to get elected, to serve their own interests. Now, one candidate, of course, I do believe is is better for the Bitcoin community, as far as regulations, as far as enabling certain things to take place in our country. And so you vote as you are compelled to do so. But I do say all that to say that I believe that while we can all move forward with a cautious optimism that things will go smoothly, that there will be minimal disruption between now and the inauguration and even in the months following, it's important to, as Shane was saying, and you said too, Coleman, it's important for us to really always be ready and to always be vigilant, regardless of what the heightened situation may be. That we all know that the media has hyped it up big time. We're going to be seeing red alerts all night long on the news. You know, this state just in, oh my gosh, this is going on, and everybody's going to be fired up. And, you know, maybe at the end of it all, half the country is going to be real happy and the other half the country is going to be very unhappy. And maybe there may be pockets of people rising up and making their unhappiness known to everybody else. Maybe not. But it's not just about our own people within our country that are voting and that want certain things to go their way and that want their contestant to win this great big competition. We do have to remember the fact that there are actors internally, domestically, and foreign that thrive in situations like this, that are chaos agents that insert themselves into these moments of opportunity to come in and to create further division, to come in and to create further chaos, and to come in and take advantage of a situation that they know may be responded to very poorly from enough people in our population that it can cause serious disruptions, and they can come in and cause serious harm to a lot of people. And that's something that none of us want. And it's important for us to remember not to fall into that trap and to be used in that situation as the idiots that are going to pick up the bricks and throw them through the windows, or the people that are going to flip out and flood the streets with your favorite pew-pew of choice strapped on and something that's resistant to projectiles strapped on your vest when the need may not necessarily be there. So it's important for us as Bitcoiners, it's important for those of us who have served in high-pressure, volatile situations such as combat, it's important for us to be the ones that are level-headed. It's important for us to be the ones that maintain our wits and are not the ones out there causing other people to lose theirs. It's important for us to be the ones that set the example. If Bitcoiners and if veterans are not the ones who are going to stand up and to be the ones that can remain cool, then nobody else is going to be able to do it. So this is an opportunity for us to shine. This is an opportunity for us to show the world who we are and what we are made of. And I think that it's important for us to move forward from this moment and in the moments following with that mindset.
Yeah, 100%, Gabe. That was perfect. It's up to us to lead the way and show the world what we can do. So I threw up in the nest just some, as you're talking, I was trying to throw up some pictures so people could see. So the first one is Washington C is pretty much shut down. A lot of the businesses are all boarded up, just due to, if Trump wins, they fear that there's going to be a lot of riots in the streets. So businesses are shut down. So again, it's surreal to see that happening in this country when we're supposed to be the land of the free, and the city's just shut down during these events just because they know there's going to be so many riots going on. So it's always a little crazy to see that going on. The other ones I threw up were a couple talking points, where you said there's going to be agents, saboteur, that are going to try and put fear into people. So the first one I threw up was Rachel Maddow, and she is stating that Elon Musk should be removed from all government contracts with his businesses because he is pro-Trump, which is an absolutely absurd statement to make. And especially as a news host, she has a large audience that will view her. And to have this and to state this is pretty alarming, and there's not pushback from it. You shouldn't lose government contracts because you favor one side or the other. Again, that to me is just absolutely mind boggling. Go ahead, Omar.
I was just going to say, like, that's wild, especially if you think of it, like, he's essentially replaced, like, I don't think there's anybody else. I mean, we saw how poorly Boeing did when they went to space, right? Like, those astronauts were stuck for months and they had to abandon it. And now I think, I saw somewhere that they're selling off their space projects because it's a failure. So like, she's literally asking, and I mean, we do this often, but you know, for random political beliefs, we are, literally putting American interests, in jeopardy for, you know, for her, like, Democrat loyalty. You know, she's willing to put American interests at risk because that's really, like, whether you like Musk or not, SpaceX is a asset for the United States and for our capabilities. You know, it's our space launch capabilities. And you know, again, however you feel about Musk, that's a reality and there's no alternative that exists today. You know, Bezos has Blue Origin, but it's not nearly on par with SpaceX. You know, I haven't seen him launching anything into space, for our government and anything like that. So it's just absurd. It's an absurd take to have. And it shows you just how, like, how much brain rot can come from partisan politics. And it's not just liberals, you know, like, just to get that out there. It's not just liberals. Like, I'm sure there's, if we look for 5 seconds, we could probably find a Republican equivalent take. So, you know, just defend your own brain against that. You know, don't be led astray by those, like, pushing those kind of, like, thought processes and stuff like that. You know, you guys mentioned earlier, but we got to be, everybody should try to be, like, the adult in the room and, you know, behave responsibly and, you know, push back against anything that's anti-liberty. You know, like, I brought my son with me when I voted today and I told him, you know, the most important thing we're voting for is to preserve liberty and freedom, you know, and he doesn't really get it. He's 4, but you know, that's the reality, you know, so, keep that in mind. It doesn't mean, you know, that means that sometimes you're not going to be happy with the results, but if we're preserving, you have to look at it like the long term, like you want to make sure that kids and grandkids have liberty and stuff like that. And violently or using lawfare against, the opposing side isn't going to work out. It'll just accelerate our collapse.
Absolutely. Because at some point, whether it's this election or the next election, the other side is going to win. And you can't tell me that they're not going to seek some kind of vengeance, for your actions you're taking. So it's definitely a slippery slope. So I just want to make sure, that I quote Rachel Maddow correctly. I don't want to skew her words. So this is a direct quote from yesterday when she was speaking. Even if Trump doesn't win, the Defense Department and NASA will need a new approach to the multi-billion dollar contracts with Elon Musk's companies. Given what we now know about Musk, this relationship poses an untenable national security risk. Either the U.S. must unwind from these contracts or Musk's companies must separate from him. So I just wanted to make sure I was reading word for word what she had said. So pretty crazy statement. The other thing I want to roll right into, along the exact same line, is Jamie Raskin. He's a congressman from Maryland's 8th District. This is what he was quoted saying earlier in the week. Let folks cast their votes for Trump if that's their choice, but mark my words, we won't be certifying the election. He might win, but we'll ensure he doesn't step foot in the Oval Office. End quote. So I had to do some research. I've never heard of Jamie Raskin, but he's an American attorney and law professor and serving in Maryland's 8th Congressional District. He's been notably, been the prominent figure in Congress, serving as the lead impeachment manager during the second impeachment trial of President Donald Trump. So again, you can see this hatred just runs extremely deep. And some of the things that they're saying is insane. So
yeah,
Go.
Yeah. And I think that for us to anticipate that there's going to be a moment, especially tonight, where a clear winner is declared and balloons fall from the sky and freaking confetti is flying and the everybody's dancing through Times Square. It's not realistic. That's not going to happen. I believe that things have gone too far for them to just let go and walk away and say, well, we tried. You don't have a candidate that takes that gets their ear pierced, if they get shot in the freaking ear, that there's another attempt that you take through, a crucible of lawfare, like you said, and compare them and their followers to Nazis, and then just kind of dust your hands and walk away and say, well, you know, we tried. Let's just go ahead and let him do the thing. It doesn't happen that way. Whatever happens tonight or over the next few days, it's not over. The legal battle will continue. And I'm not trying to stress anyone out, but we do have to have realistic expectations here, because I don't see this as just being a, okay, forget about what we said. It's over. And people just walking away no matter what happens. Okay. So let's say he gets it and it looks like everything's great. No, they're going to fight it. They're going to fight it. But if let's say in a landslide that the blue side wins and they're jumping up and down, I just don't see it. I just don't see a resolution happening that is going to be one that any of us really want to endure. Because I think that most people just want to get on with their lives. Let's just get back to focusing on what's important. Let's just get back to our multiple wars around the world, supporting corrupt regimes. Let's just get back to ruining our economy and starving our families slowly and putting them on public assistance to live off of poison so we can all survive on medication. Can we just get back to that? Because there's some really good TV that needs to be watched and all this stuff is distracting me. But the bottom line is, sorry, I was being kind of an asshole there. But the bottom line is I think that we can anticipate there to be some continued action as we move into the future. And it's important, again, for us to remember, and I'm going to use this word, it's important for us to remember who the enemy is. And as long as we allow it to be one another, then our focus is not where it needs to be, because there is a battle that is taking place. And our role, I will repeat this, our role is a peaceful one, but it is a battle, okay? And the fact of the matter is, if we're not going to win it, then we are going to lose it. And if we do lose it, then that's not good for us, and that's definitely not good for future generations. And yes, Bitcoin fixes things. Yes, Bitcoin, I believe, is truly unstoppable. But it can be a whole lot more difficult than it has to be if we're not paying attention, if we're not being vigilant, and if we're not being mindful and focused on what we need to be focused on. That's all I got.
That was perfect, Gabe. And you're absolutely right. Bitcoin is unstoppable. I'm not saying that we can just leave it alone and it won't be vulnerable to anything. But I think it's too big now for any entity or organization to shut it down. That's what I mean by it's unstoppable. And I think you mean the same thing too, Gabe. And so it's really important to get out there. And again, whoever wins is not going to change Bitcoin. They're not going to change the code. They're not going to do anything like that. So Bitcoin will continue to go on. But they will affect our ability, in our day to day life. So it is important to get out there and vote and make sure you're voting correctly. Put your feelings aside and vote with your heart. And so that's my advice for everybody. AC, you've been pretty quiet this morning. Do you have anything you'd like to say, sir?
Yeah, I just want to say I learned my lesson a couple of spaces ago is to never talk after Gabe. So, multiple mic drops from Gabe, and I got nothing additional to add.
Gabe is very wise. I always enjoy when you go into your rants, Gabe. There's a lot to learn, and they're always good, but AC's right. They're tough to follow. Does anybody else have anything they want to hit on with the election and the current state of things?
I just want to mention, I wrote last night, I was up and I just kind of scribbled down some thoughts I had on this election. So I posted that up into the space too, if anybody's interested. you know, in short, like I see it as, like a couple things. Like one, like, you know, people will often argue that like a third party vote is a wasted vote, but I think it's important to note that if libertarians didn't vote libertarian in 2020, Trump would not have gone to the convention, in 2024, right? He would not have, heard from Angela McArdle about, freeing Ross Ulbricht. And he may not have heard as much about Bitcoin. So I think that, you know, right from that, we can kind of toss out the idea that a third party vote is a wasted vote. Now, when we look at the swing states, I think it's important to, again, you know, assess what's important to you, right? And I already told you what's important to me. It's liberty, right? Like the most important thing, the thing that I see voting for is for liberty. And I view that as, you know, there's a lot of different things. There's, you know, how we're behaving overseas, you know, our foreign policy, how that, because that will get reflected upon us, in the short or long term. So that's an impact on liberty. And then, the other thing is like the domestic policies and how that will directly impact our freedoms. So with that, I think that, you know, I think that Trump is definitely far ahead of Kamala Harris. I kind of lined up their two policies there, and there's a lot of more government from Kamala Harris and less government from Donald Trump. And it's important to note, and I did not lose the sight of the fact that, Trump promised a lot of things in 2016 that he didn't deliver on. So there's the potential for that again, right? But I like the people that are in his orbit, you know, especially, you know, Ron Paul kind of got pulled in via Elon Musk into the orbit. You know, if anything that Ron Paul gets involved in, and I think Musk actually tweeted about, Ron Paul joining him in his, Doge group or whatever, right? Anything Ron Paul is involved in, like, I implicitly trust Ron Paul, right? Like one of the few politicians I do. I think it's him and Thomas Massie that I feel like I can actually trust. You know, I wrote about it a little bit more in detail in that article there. But that's kind of my take on it, you know, really assess the, like what you're voting for. You know, take a look and think of what will be best for you. You know, think of I would argue that you can't completely divorce, Harris from the Biden-Harris administration, right? Like, I think that's giving her way too much of a leeway to pretend she had no say in the past 4 years. So that makes it pretty clear to me who I would advocate voting for in swing states. Now, if you're not in a swing state, I don't think it matters as much. You know, I'm not in a swing state, so I can vote freely and I can vote, purely on my conscience, which let me vote for president. At least I voted for Thomas Massie. I wrote him in. Cause it doesn't matter. My state's already decided. So, you know, but in the swing states, I would say just, you know, really take your time and think about it in the long-term implications. Not just like, you know, you can hate Donald Trump with all your might, but just think of the, what they're campaigning on and what they're promising to do, versus in terms of more government versus less government. And, there was another bonus. I forget who posted it. Somebody tweeted it. I retweeted it earlier, but they said, you know, if Trump does not, they didn't think Trump would deliver on anything. And they said, well, at least if he doesn't deliver, you know, the freedom loving Republicans might finally wake up and see that the GOP sucks. And yeah, so like there's a potential upside to the downside of Trump not following through. So it's a little bit of food for thought.
And then just to spin off what you had said there, Eomar, I always tell my kids to make sure you hang out with your friends that have other good friends that are like-minded. If you hang out with people that are corrupt or bad or that are criminals, eventually you're going to be associated with that and you're going to just fall in line. And when I look at who Trump is surrounding himself with, right now in his immediate circle, again, pulling in, you know, Vivek. I really like Vivek. I like RFK. I like Tulsi, Elon, and getting Ron Paul. Like again, the upside potential for him to have a very positive, term, outweighs everything that the others are offering. So again, you don't necessarily have to like the man. You don't have to like him, but just look who he's surrounding himself with. And do you fall in line with what they're going to be feeding him and what they're going to be telling them? And so use that as fuel.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was one of the first things I wrote about too in that article. And then on the other side of that, you have Liz Cheney, right? Dick and Liz Cheney. So I think we should all be, I know the veterans are most likely, familiar with, Dick Cheney. So, I don't think I have to elaborate on how much I despise that man, but, you know, that's who's in the orbit of Kamala Harris. And like you said, the people in the orbit of Trump are honestly, they're the ones that give me some hope for Trump. Trump himself, meh, but the people he's surrounding himself with, I like, at least I like where they are, right? I didn't like RFK as a presidential candidate, but I do like him in charge of, you know, health and, food and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely some good things.
Yes, absolutely. So while I have your attention, just really quick, I want to give a quick thank you to our partners. Black Sheep Ammo, restock your ammo at blacksheepammo.com. Solo Satoshi, open source Bitcoin mining at solosatoshi.com. Punch Plate, stamp your seed phrase on a metal plate at punchplate.com. And Paladin Tower Tactics, professional firearms and tactical training at paladintowertactics.com. And in case you haven't heard, there will be a Bitcoin conference in Juneau, Alaska, July 5th and 6th of next year. Recommend getting early to the conference, coming in the 1st or 2nd of July to do some pre-conference activities. There's talk that there may be a Bitcoin veterans parade, or we'll have a float in the parade for 4th of July. So it'll be a lot of fun. There will be a cruise to go to one of the local fjords in the area. And so with a whale pass to this conference, it might be the only whale pass in Bitcoin history where you will actually see whales on this cruise. So make sure you check it out. I'll put a link up in the nest, but it's Bitcoin Alaska, and get your hotel and tickets quick before they sell out. And I see we have DR Lewis in the audience and Joe Colasari. I'd like to send an invitation to both of you who want to come up here. I'd like to hear your opinions on today's events. Did you guys see the post that Saquon Barkley made yesterday talking about inflation, savings, and Bitcoin?
No, I didn't see that one.
So I'll throw it up in the nest. But he went on X and made a post and said, "I want my career earnings to last generations. The average NFL career is 3 years and inflation is real." Saving and preserving money over time is hard, no matter who you are. And in today's world, how do we save? I believe in Bitcoin, and that is why I save in Bitcoin. And so he is the first, I think he was the first NFL player to collect his entire salary in Bitcoin. So it's very interesting. It's definitely, and when you have professional athletes talking and tweeting about this, it definitely gets more traction. It gets people opened and seeing what's going on with it. So if you have any thoughts on that, I'm going to go try and find the tweet, and I'd like to hear your comments.
I think it's good. You know, I think anybody of, you know, there's definitely like huge followings for, you know, football players and stuff. And, you know, getting them out there, talking about this is important, right? Like, I don't, even if like there's some minor details and stuff that you don't agree on, or you would have said it differently or whatever, it doesn't really matter, right? It's important that these people are out there talking about things. And from what you just said, at least my, you know, what I heard from it sounds pretty spot on. So, I think it's a net positive, right? I remember, I think was it in like the 2021 or something. I know there's a few football players that were, you know, talking about Bitcoin and stuff. So I'm glad it hasn't kind of like faded away, and, you know, they're not being, you know, they're not being like ridiculed and stuff. I think there was like that time period. There was like the surge, there's a bunch of ads and stuff. And then like they were kind of trying to mock, you know, the people that were pushing Bitcoin and stuff like that. But, you know, Bitcoin's back up to 70 grand range. And you know, it's good that he's still on board, right? Like, I think that says a lot. And I think that will just help get more people to like at least curious about it and reading into it. So net positive in my book.
Yes, absolutely. Net positive. Good morning, Bitcoin Carney. How are you doing today?
Hey, what's up? Just jumped up to say Barkley is actually besties with Jack Mallers, and they have a couple of podcasts together, like an hour or two each. Pretty interesting. And then that, just a quick correction, that first NFL player was Patrick Okung, and that was back in 2020 that he took his full salary in Bitcoin, so it's probably looking pretty good now.
Thank you for that correction. And I didn't know about Mahlers and Barkley.
Yeah, me neither. So that'll be something interesting maybe to take a look at.
If you're a fan of Jack Mahlers, rumor is he's going to be coming to Bitcoin Alaska and may be a featured guest on the cruise that will be going on. So again, another big push and shout out for getting to that conference in Alaska. Some other things I wanted to touch on this morning. The UK pension advisor Cartwright advises, 3% allocation in Bitcoin. That 3% is worth $59 million. And, it's the first of its kind, allocation that has taken place in the UK. It took several months to, kind of get pushed through due to rigorous training and due diligence in their process. But I think that's really big news and I'd like to get your thoughts on it. And Joe, if you want to jump up here, I'd like to get your thoughts on UK, pension fund Cartwright advocating a 3% of their portfolio into Bitcoin. Eomar, Bitcoin Carney, AC, do you guys have any thoughts on that right now?
I'm sorry, I completely missed what you said there.
No, you're good. I was just talking about the UK pension fund.
Right. I think any pension funds, shifting any assets over to Bitcoin is good. You know, we talked about before, like how companies are doing like risk portfolios and stuff and how, you or I are doing something, I think we were talking about in terms of insurance and stuff, but you know, like the, when small fries are doing Bitcoin things, nobody really cares. But once like, you know, bigger and bigger entities are doing Bitcoin things, the rest of the like industries and stuff will shift to accommodate that. So, pension funds are a huge, pile of money basically sitting around waiting to be invested. So, them moving into Bitcoin, is a boon, not just for price, but just for general adoption, from other pension funds that want to, you know, stay in the same game, and then for like the secondary companies that see these kind of movements, it'll just help all industries, I think, become more accustomed with Bitcoin and kind of normalize investing in Bitcoin. So definitely a good thing.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing how this plays out, in the next several months, even, you know, year. It looks like they did their timing almost perfect. If this bull run kicks off here in the next couple of weeks, it'll be interesting to see what that percentage changes, in their allocation. So they put 3% in. It'd be interesting that it all of a sudden became an 8% allocation without them having to allocate any additional funds. So always interesting to see this happen. So we're getting to the top of the hour. Was there anything that, y'all wanted to talk about, AC and Eomar, that we haven't covered yet? Any final thoughts or closing comments? I'm going to take that as a no. It looks like we've hit everything. So I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping up a little early today. I have an appointment that I have to do a hard stop, in the next 8 minutes. So, again, my thoughts on the election today. Again, I've already made it clear. Bitcoin's not political. No matter what happens, don't be scared. The price, I think if a Harris wins, the price is probably going to tank really quick, but it will come back up, I think, within the coming weeks. I don't think, again, I don't think anybody can stop Bitcoin doing Bitcoin things. So I think that's extremely important to make. But regardless of today's outcome, we are not Bitcoin. So the people who come in, who now become our elected officials, we as Americans will be affected. So it's important to get out there and do your part and go vote. And so again, I think I don't see any nefarious actions going on. I don't expect, anything crazy to take place. But like Shane and Gabe had said earlier, just because we're not expecting it doesn't mean it won't happen. So just always make sure that you have your head on a swivel and you always prepare for the worst. So I hope the election is a landslide win for either side. I really hope that it doesn't come down to a narrow race, just because of all the legal and political whining that comes from either party. It's not going to be fun and it'll just draw out this whole process. So I personally hope that it's a clear win for Trump. But if it's a clear win for Harris, again, it eliminates the BS that ensues afterwards. Probably won't get a result till Wednesday, probably Wednesday morning or Wednesday afternoon. So just make sure you're aware of that. We will be having a live Bitcoin Veterans video podcast tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Shane and Mike will be going over the election results as they're coming in, giving their thoughts and opinions on things. So that's always great to hear them speak. I really like to hear what they have to say. Make sure you tune in again tomorrow morning. We're doing this at 10 a.m. We'll probably do a quick recap of the election and kind of go over everything else that'll be taking place. Thursday, we're going to have a couple representatives from Marathon Digital Holdings joining us. So really looking forward to that. So tune in. That'll be Thursday at 10 a.m. And then on Friday, we're going to have Ben with BTC Sessions joining us as well. So it'll be a great space. There's going to be a lot of people finding Bitcoin for the first time, especially if the price starts taking off, you're going to get a lot of new people joining. So that'll be a great space for them to tune in. So if you have friends that are just starting to find Bitcoin, point them to this channel, point them to this handle. That's it. That's all I have for you guys. Get out there, have fun, stay safe, go vote if you haven't voted, and just don't shitcoin. It's like buying a lottery ticket with yesterday's numbers.